Well, we're going to jump right in today. If you're a guest with us today, welcome. My name is Blair Hayward. I have the privilege of serving as senior pastor and delivering scripture today to us. So go to, in your Bibles, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, that's where we'll be today. Just a quick review of where we've been as a church thus far in 2018 and where we're going, just so you know the roadmap of what's ahead. We started off the year with our series in the book of Jonah called God's Colossal Compassion for This City. Then we returned to our series in the book of John called Behold His Glory that led us through Easter. And the point of that was that we would put our trust in the Son of God and fall in love with His majesty, who He is, and be devoted to Him in our service. 5 weeks from now, we're going to begin a series in the book of 1 Timothy. And that's going to take us through the fall time. So I'm excited to walk through 1 Timothy verse by verse. It's called Blueprints for a Christ-Centered Church. But these 4 weeks leading up to that time is a four-message series called Serving the Lord. And the messages in this series are, first of all, on holiness, which is today, holiness set apart from sin. Next week is holiness set apart for service. After that is humility, a servant's attitude. And then the last message will be the honor, using our gifts to honor the Lord. So we're going to talk about serving the Lord and what that looks like as a church. It goes right along with our theme of being reaching wide and raising our outreach temperature in 2018. So that's where we're going. And so let's read together 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. For this is our scripture for today. So let's lift our voices and read this scripture. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is God's word for us today. Today we're going to learn that we are, as His followers, as His people, we are to be holy because God is holy and paid a high price for us. Be holy because God is holy and paid a high price for us. And so we're going to talk about two commands today. The first command is to understand holiness. Understand holiness. Now, you've most likely in your lifetime heard stereotypes such as these. Oh, you're just a holy roller. Or, what are you, holier than thou? And so people, when people want to pursue holiness, others view them as being arrogant or judgmental or being critical because you're pursuing God and they are not. Others have a view of holiness like climbing a mountain in a remote region, checking into a monastery, taking a vow of silence and simplicity and living there the rest of your life. Well, it doesn't make you holy to do that. And also, others will say, even Christians will say, you know what, this whole holiness thing, that's for freaks. That's for people who are fanatics. I'll be normal, thank you very much. You can have your holiness. But my conviction is, because I've learned it in my life of coming out of unholiness and then Christ saving me and then helping me progress in holiness, and that's not a prideful statement at all. I'm just saying God's really worked in my life over the years. I have found that holiness actually brings freedom and joy in your relationship with God. You're no longer bound by the sinful habits which held you down in the past, which held us down in the past. It doesn't bring slavery, it brings freedom. And I know that we're all for freedom, because that's why Christ set us free. So as we try to understand holiness together, let's dig into the meaning of the word holy or holiness. The way this is used in the Bible, it means this: that which is set apart and dedicated to sacred use. That which is set apart and dedicated to sacred use. We're going to use it in these two, with these two flavors to holiness, because it represents the word. We're going to be set apart from sin and set apart for service. Set apart from sin and set apart for service. Set apart from sin talks about moral excellence, cleanliness, moral cleanliness. The second part, being set apart for service, is you are dedicated to the Lord. You're devoting your life's energies, your focus, your purpose in life to be dedicated to God's agenda and God's mission, not our own. Okay, so set apart from sin, set apart for service. Some synonyms or similar words for holiness, you'll see this in your Bibles throughout when you read Scripture. The words dedicated or devoted, sanctified, consecrated, or sacred. Those are all synonyms of the word holiness. Some antonyms, some opposites. Unclean, profane, or common. Those are opposites of the word holiness. Okay, so now that we have a basic understanding of the word set apart from sin, set apart for service, let's talk about how holiness is not obtained. Holiness is not gained by our own effort. Checking into a monastery and checking out from the world is not necessarily going to make you holy. It might make you more unholy, being there all by yourself. So holiness is not gained by our own effort, not by keeping religious rules. Jesus had a run-in on multiple occasions with a group of people who were all about keeping religious rules. They were named the Pharisees, religious leaders in Jesus' day. And he said to them at one point in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but instead they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also." Jesus also said, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of these people. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." See, that's external holiness, not internal holiness. And so keeping religious rules will not make you holy or clean in the sight of God. Also, false humility will not make you holy. Many people think, well, if I just beat myself down, if I deny myself sort of the basic pleasures of life, the basic necessities of life, then I will become holy through self-denial and a false humility. Colossians 2, 18 and 23 warns that self-abasement, meaning self-denial, will not make you holy. Both of these strategies, religious rules and false humility, are human-centered strategies which have no power to cleanse us from our sin and to make us right with the holy God. They have no power at all. So now the question is, then how is holiness obtained? Okay, and this is very important. Holiness is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. I'm going to point us up, back up to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So if you just want to glance up there, maybe turn back a page in your Bible. Verse 1 ends with, "Who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood." Okay, these phrases teach us how holiness is obtained. The Father selects you, the Spirit sanctifies you, and the Son sprinkles his blood on you, which means you are then clean morally and ritually and ceremonially in every sort of way before God through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how you are made clean and holy before God. What did we have to do with our election? Nothing. What did we have to do with the sanctifying work of the Spirit? Nothing. What did we have to do with the sprinkling of the Son of God's blood? Nothing. And so holiness is given as a gift. In 1 Peter, I think it's verse 3, also says that we are born again to a living hope. And so if you're dead, you can't make yourself born again. That's a gift of God. And so this is the Christian gospel, that we are dead in our transgressions and sins, but we are made alive together with Christ through his sacrifice and through the gift of God. So holiness primarily is a gift of God. It's not obtained by our own works. All right, let's dive a little bit further, okay? Two aspects of holiness. And if you didn't bring your thinking cap with you this morning, you'll need to make one up and put it on, okay? We're going to go a little bit deeper here. We've talked about these things before, but it's very important for our Christian walk. Two aspects of holiness. First of all, positional holiness. Positional holiness. The second one is progressive holiness. Let's start with positional holiness. This is also known in the Christian doctrine as justification. Here's what it is. God Almighty makes a legal declaration based on the merits of his Son Jesus Christ that I am holy. If you were to look at me, you'd say, well, you're not holy. And I'd say, I understand that. But God has declared me to be holy as a gift of his grace. Positional holiness. In God's standing or God's sight, I have Christ's standing before God. And when I say I, I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about you, all of us, okay? We are, in God's sight, completely righteous, blameless, and beyond accusation because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We are criminals set free, is in essence. That's positional holiness. Glance in your Bibles over at 1 Peter 2:9. You'll see a bunch of phrases there used for Christ's church. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Wow! I didn't earn any of those titles. Those are given as a gift from God. I am positionally holy. Here's, a great illustration. If you've ever read through the book of 1 Corinthians, it starts out really great. He says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who've been sanctified or made holy, saints by calling. You're thinking these people must be squeaky clean. And then you read the rest of 1 Corinthians and you're like, how did he call them holy at the very beginning? These are unholy people. Because they're positionally holy. They have a long way to go in progressive holiness. But they're positionally holy. It's the same thing for the not only the Corinthians, but the Findlayans. That's us. That we are positionally holy if we've trusted in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. Now the second aspect of progressive holiness, okay, whereas positional holiness is all of God, progressive holiness is a cooperation with of the person, of the Christian, with the work of God in their life, with the work of the Holy Spirit. Notice in now in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, notice that it's a command to be holy. So a command communicates that I participate in the progression of my holiness. It takes effort, it takes action, it takes energy for me to become holy in actual practice. I begin to display the holiness in my life, which is actually true of me from God's perspective. Simple illustration. Let's say your last name is Miller, and you're talking to your child, and your child is disobeying. And so you would say to your child, listen, Millers don't act like this. Represent the family name. Make a better choice. See, that's progressive holiness. Make a choice to honor the Lord with your life. Okay, here's a graph. I've shown this before, but this is very helpful. Below the line at the bottom is your unsaved state. You are unredeemed. You're unholy. But through faith in Christ and the gift of his grace, you cross the line from death to life, from darkness to light, from condemnation to God's favor, from eternal death to eternal life. The foundation is there. It's not ever going away. So I'm positionally holy or justified. But over time, I progress in holiness. So let's say you struggle with swearing. I used to struggle with swearing quite a bit as a baseball player. I thought it was cool. It's not cool, by the way. There's a lot of other words you can use to express your emotions than swear words. Now, at the very beginning of my Christian walk, I was swearing still. But then I became convicted of it. And so, you know, you'd go for a little while and you wouldn't swear. Okay, I've gone up. But then you'd slip up and you come back down. And then you work on it. And then over time, your language gets cleaned up, just like Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome words proceed from your mouth, but speak only that which is edifying for the needs of the moment. You see? So we grow and we put things behind us progressively. But it all springs from the fact that you are positionally holy before God. All right, let me make this point because I think it's an important biblical point. Holiness is an inside-out progression. It's an inside-out progression. It's not an outside-in progression. The Pharisees were guilty of an outside-in error, thinking, if I go, put it in our terms, if I go to church, if I read my Bible, if I tithe, if I go to Panera on the 25th and give money to the church, then this, all of these holy actions are going to somehow soak into my heart and cleanse me before God. No. No man is saved by good works. We have to be made clean on the inside, which is a miracle of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and then what's true of me on the inside begins to work its way out over time. So I have a friend who was led to Christ a couple years ago. Recently went and saw one of his own friends down in Florida whom he hasn't seen for a while. And his friend said to him, "Man, you've changed." What is that? That's positional holiness beginning to work its way out into progressive holiness. Okay? All right, so understand holiness. Quick review. It is being set apart from sin and set apart for service. It is not earned by our own effort. It is gained or given as a gift of God. We are positionally holy. That's not going to change. You are forgiven. That goes all the way into eternity. But we can grow in holiness as a progression over time. So let's move on to the second command. Now, pursue holiness. So when I speak about pursuing holiness, which of those two aspects am I speaking? Positional holiness or progressive holiness? Anybody want to answer out loud? Progressive. Yes, we're working. Okay, now this is our part. We're pursuing holiness. So verses 14 through 16. Now look in verse 15. You'll notice there's a command. Be holy. Be holy. Become holy. Why? Because the one who called you is holy. The one who called you is holy, so we are to be holy. Think about the core nature of God. What is the very core nature of our almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God? It's holiness. God is 100% morally excellent. He is completely righteous. He is fully just and pure. His character is spotlessly perfect, free from every molecule of evil. There's no darkness in God whatsoever. Be holy as I am holy. At least 26 times in the book of Isaiah, this title is given to God, the Holy One of Israel. Jesus in the New Testament, Mark 1:24, he is called the Holy One of God. He is absolute purity. But also, God is completely different than us as humans. He is a completely other being. Yes, God did take on human flesh in Jesus Christ, but the core nature of God, he is spirit, he's other, he's set apart from us. We have nothing in common in terms of our being or our essence. Okay. Also, you'll notice in your Bible, verse 16, because it is written, or as it has been written, and the implication is, and is still binding. It's been written, and it is still binding. So when our moms told us to clean our room, but we didn't clean our room, she still wants you to clean your room, even though you haven't done it yet. Same thing with God. As it is written, be holy, and it is still binding, be holy, for I am holy. Now you might say, well, this seems impossible to us, that we could be holy like God. Well, let me just read this sentence. While we will never be free from the presence of sin in this life, we can be more and more free from the power and practice of sin. We will not be sinless, but we can sin less. We will not be sinless, but we can sin less. As Pastor Dave Cass is famous for saying, God does not demand perfection, but progress. Progress. Okay? So pursue holiness. How are we to be holy? The scripture answers that too. Verse 14, as obedient children. Now all of you know, if you've had the privilege of raising children or being involved in your grandchildren's lives, that an obedient child is so much more of a blessing to the family than one who rebels. So back to our clean your room example, if you say clean your room and there's an answer, okay, well hey, things are great. But if there's an answer of slamming the door, stomping away, ignoring, okay, that's not being an obedient child. Think about this in terms of scripture too. Disobedience is a mark of people who are sons of the devil, not those who have been redeemed by God. So he says here, as obedient children, as ones who delight to do the Father's will, then put away these former things, these former lusts. Remember, verse 15 again, he who called you, as he who called you, like the Holy One who called you, we've been invited into God's family. We've been born again. We've been adopted into his family. So we are called to be obedient children. Verse 14, do not be conforming to your former lusts. Don't pattern, this word conform means don't pattern yourself after, don't fit into the mold of your former ways. Leave that behind. It's the same word that's used in Romans 12 too, about not being conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed through the renewing of your mind. So don't fit into the world's mold anymore. You're different than the world. Okay, let's get even more practical here. What unholy behavior am I to leave behind? I can just hear those questions in your mind. What unholy behavior am I to leave behind? Well, you could go to Galatians 5, 19 through 21. You could do that. But we're going to stick a little closer to home here. Flip over in 1 Peter 4, verse 3. 1 Peter 4, 3. Peter gives us a list of some things that were part of our former nature. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, or we would say of the world, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. So Peter's very clear through the Holy Spirit. These are the things we're to leave behind. He speaks first of all of sexual sin. The word that he uses there, translated a course of sensuality, is unrestrained sexual indulgence. Sleeping around, doing whatever you want, whatever makes you feel good. What we view in terms of sensual and immoral images. That's all part of the former nature. Leave that behind. Brothers and sisters of Findlay Evangelical Free Church, leave that behind. Let it go. Get away from that as far and as fast as you possibly can. It'll eat your insides out. Careful of that. Drunkenness. And the words that are used for drunkenness means the type of drunkenness that usually leads to more promiscuity. If you think of maybe your former life, people did things when they get, or maybe even you if you were a drinker, you do things under the influence and control of alcohol which are completely immoral. Good choices and alcohol do not go together. Never do they go together. And so beware of going back to drunkenness and parties. Idolatry is another thing that we are to leave behind. In our day and age, yes, people do still bow down to golden statues. Hinduism is a good example of a religion of idolatry. But in our day and age, more prevalent is chasing money, status, chasing after material wealth, or self-actualization. You be you. You be the best you can possibly be. You just do you. You know, go out there and don't be ashamed of who you are. Listen, I read my Bible and I come across Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is more deceitful than all else, it is desperately sick, who can understand it? I don't want to be the best me I can possibly be. I want to be the best me that Jesus wants me to be under his control. You don't want to see the best Blair Hayward in my sinful condition. You want to see a redeemed Blair Hayward. So we're to leave these behind. I think of my friend Ryan. I had a conversation with him many years ago. And Ryan was raised in a Christian environment, maybe would be the best way to put it. He comes from a divorced home. He probably accepted Christ early teens. But Ryan got in high school and college into drugs and drinking really heavy. And Ryan had with a young woman, he had a child out of wedlock. And he was partying and drinking and doing drugs. And he said at one point he was taking care of his son, but he was fading in and out because he was high. And he just looks back and says how foolish that was, and praise God that his son turned out the way that he did, because Ryan was neglecting. And Ryan said at one point, he said, when I would go to parties, I'd walk in the room and people would look at me like, what are you doing here? It's like others could see the light of Christ in him, even though he was completely trying to dim the light through all of the drinking and the drugs that he was doing. And that really struck him, like, I don't belong here. I shouldn't be doing these things. It's not who I am in Christ. And so, praise God, Ryan eventually repented of all of that and moved on in a better direction for Christ in his life. But wasteful years, he looks back on those and says, why was I doing those things? We're to leave that former pattern of lusts behind. So how about you? What former lusts do we need to forsake in order to pursue holiness? We're to be set apart from sin. Okay, not only does the Bible say what we're to leave behind, but it tells us what are we supposed to do. It tells us the negative that we're to put away, and it also tells us the positive that we are to pursue. And verse 15, very clear. We can't miss this in our Bibles. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Be holy, for I am holy. So God is the target, the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. The standard for our behavior before coming to Christ used to be, oh, hey, what's everybody else doing? What do I want to do right now? That's the former standard. But now, the standard is completely opposite. It's holiness set apart from sin. It's moral excellence. It's to please the Lord. Become holy in like manner as God is holy. You'll also notice in verse 15, how much of my behavior is to be holy? Somebody shout it out there. Oh, all of it. So I can't just give Jesus my mouth and my mind. He's got to have my body and my eyes and my thoughts. He has to have all of that in all your behavior, all your manner of life, all conduct, some of your Bibles say. So my body, I look at 1 Corinthians 6:13. It tells me that the body is for the Lord. My mind, I read Philippians 4:8. It tells me to dwell upon things which are honorable and right and true and excellent and praiseworthy. I think about my lips. I already quoted it, Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth. So in my thinking, in my speaking, in my doing, in my inner life and my outer life, I am to be holy, set apart from sin. So a question for us all. Who are you when it's just you and God? When there's no one else around, who are you? Who are you on Tuesday, not just Sunday? Are you a person who has a hunger to be holy like your dad is holy? That's the call, church, to be holy, to be set apart from sin, and not out of pride, look at how good I am, but out of love, look what he's done for me. I don't want to live the former life which brought sorrow to his heart. I want to live a life that pleases the Lord. Yes, it's going to get me in trouble with my friends. Yes, they're going to look down their nose at me. But that's okay. I'm here to live for the Lord, not to live my life for the approval of my friends. So when we do sin, because remember, this is progressive holiness, it's not perfect holiness. When we do sin, what ought we to do? Well, here are five steps for pursuing holiness. First of all, when we know that we've sinned, we confess the sin to God. We also confess the sin to others. Get together with a good, if you're a male, get together with another man and confess your sins to each other. If you're a female, get together with another female and say, here's how I've blown it this week. Pray for me. Help me to pursue holiness. Confess to God and others. Repent. It means to make a U-turn. So stop going that way and go a different direction. Come up with a specific plan as to what you are going to do, what I'm going to do to avoid that sin in the future. So for instance, if you have a problem with the sin of gossip, get together with the friend with whom you gossip and say, you know what, the Lord has really convicted me that we ought not to be talking about people the way that we talk. And so I'm not going to participate in that anymore. We can hang out together, but I'm just not going to go that way with the conversation. That's putting some skin in the game, isn't it? You have to confess it, and you have to say, we're going to come up with a different plan. That's repentance. Thirdly, read God's word. We cannot grow in holiness by reading self-help books. It's not going to work. We grow in holiness by reading the Holy Word, whose author is the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. That's how we grow in holiness. Now, this is so important that I put a reading plan in your bulletin. Reading the Scripture is so important that I used up all of your writing space to give you a plan for the next 16 days. If you don't have a regular quiet time with the Lord, there's a plan right there for you. And all of those passages will help us to ponder what it means to progress and to pursue holiness. Take a passage a day, think about it, mull it over in your mind, and pray about that. So there's a plan for you. Confess, repent, read. Fourthly, follow the Holy Spirit. So when the conviction of the Spirit comes on you, says you should not be doing this, stop yourself. You might actually have to physically stand up from your seat, or if you're standing, you might have to just sit down and pause yourself and say, I got to have a better choice here. And then there'll be an internal struggle, and then choose to go the way of the Spirit. And then fifthly, fellowship with others who are pursuing holiness. Man, you really progress in holiness when you're on a team, and it's not just you, not just me doing it alone. This is why we gather together as a church family. This is why we do community groups and family groups and accountability groups and service projects together. We're around other people who are going in the same direction. It's so important in this filthy, wicked world to gather together for some encouragement before we go back out and make a difference, okay? Here's a resource for you. It's a little booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home. When you came in this morning, you may have glanced over to your left. Out by the front entrance, you'll see these are free for the taking. Wonderful illustration the man uses. He says, when we receive Christ as our Savior, it's as if we open the front door of the home to allow Jesus to come in. That's what it says in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So Jesus comes in. But then we need to allow Jesus access to every room in our home. The pantry, the basement, the bedroom closet. We need to open the door and let Jesus come in and clean us up from the inside out. So these are free for the taking. These will be an encouragement to you and all of us in our pursuit of holiness. Let me end with these scriptures. Matthew 5:6-8, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Don't you want to be satisfied in the truest sense of being spiritually and eternally satisfied? Don't you want to be pure in heart? Are you all in with Jesus? Are you totally devoted in your life to following Christ, being set apart from sin? Let me give you this final reason we ought to pursue holiness. It comes from 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. And God says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed, brothers and sisters in Christ, in Findlay, with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but rather you were redeemed with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Jesus Christ gave his very lifeblood to cleanse us from sin, to make us holy before God, and to help us to pursue Christ-likeness and holiness in this life. Let's take a time for some personal prayer. Our worship team will come, if you just mind coming up quietly. And just some personal prayer in response to this passage, and then I'll pray. Lord God, thank you that I can call upon your name only because you have given me the gift of salvation, and that you, by your doing, have made me and all my brothers and sisters here your children. Thank you for the power of your word, and I pray that you would help us to live out our calling and in actual practice, that we would be holy, set apart. We'd leave it behind and we wouldn't even miss it because of the joy of pursuing the holiness that you want for us. We know this is all of you, but help us to follow you, Lord, and please you with our lives. Bless each one here. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.